Good morning. I wasn't going to jump up and down, but the Lord gave me something for the congregation. It was during worship. He said, I see us suspended upon the above the earth, but we have chained shackle in us to the earth. And the Lord says, I see your desire of spirit is to soar in my presence. The world must not have any control over your heart. It must become distant and fade away. Let my spirit break these chains so you can ascend and experience my presence and glory. Release the cares of the world and grab hold of my glory and become consumed. Come and burn. God is exhorting us to go deeper, to forget about the cares of the world. We're in this world, but we're not of it. And God wants us to experience more of Him. There's a pair of glasses under the chair there. I don't want anybody to step on them. So I exhort you guys that when you go into your personal closets, begin to just leave the cares of this world and really begin to soar. And the Holy Spirit will break those chains that are inhibiting us to experience more of Him. And as we practice that at home, we come here, we will have that freedom of worship that we're so desirous of. Amen? Amen. Father, we just come before you, Lord God, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are so good, that you care even about the smallest details of our life. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you are ever expanding our understanding of how it is we are to operate in this world. I ask that all our hearts be open to you, Lord God. I ask that our minds be receptive to your living word and the revelation that your spirit gives to us today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of this story, or this service, is Good Men, Good Works, Part 2. Part 2. Last week we talked about laying a foundation of understanding what good works are. And the Lord wants us to go deeper in this understanding so that we may be able to see what a good man is. And so we talked about what a good man is. Who remembers what a good man is? I see all those hands, but I'm overwhelmed by how many I can pick from. A good man is a person who is born again of the Spirit, who is filled with the love of God, and because of that love of God and that experience that we have in God, we do good things to other people to convey, one, the love of God and the mercy of God for redemptive purposes. Amen? That's what a good man is. Today we're going to talk about good works. And good works means that we become a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1. It's our reasonable service. It's not, God's not asking us to do something that's unreasonable. He's actually commanding us to live this way. And part of that is what he had spoken to me to exhort you guys to just leave this world behind. Be consumed with him. Be consumed with what he wants to do. Be consumed with the power that's in you. And that requires us to stretch our faith and believe. Right? One person came to Jesus and said, what must I do to do the works of God? And Jesus said, believe. That's the direction we're going. We're going to elevate our faith. We're going to elevate and believe everything that God says is true, because it's impossible for God to lie. Impossible. And he's exhorting us that even in our worship, we become consumed. with Him. Because there's nothing in this world that has the same attraction as Him. And so to perform good works, there's three things we need to remind ourselves. First, it has to be done according to biblical law. 2 Timothy 3:16. These works are done with the proper motives of love and gratitude for redemptive purposes. Romans 12:1, 1 Thessalonians 1:3, Hebrews 6:10. And they are to be done to bring glory to our Father. Matthew 5:16, 1 Corinthians 6:20, and 1 Peter 2:12. I know it's a lot of scriptures. We're going to put scriptures up here. I encourage you, there is a copy of today's sermon, to get those scriptures. Write those scriptures down. Become Bereans and seek God in this. Seek the revelation that God wants you to have so that we're all moving as one man. Amen? The greatest thing that we have that works against us is we have a lack of understanding. Lack of understanding allows Satan to deceive us into believing that what we're doing is good works. But the reality of these good things that we do is really participating in the world's causes. And I explained that a little bit last week. Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death." What we're doing seems to be right in our own eyes and how we do that to help our fellow man. But the reality is we never deal with root problems. We only deal with symptoms of the root problem. When war breaks out, they advertise, the world advertises the needs of the refugees, the needs of food, the needs of this. And it's true. As they advertise these things play on our heartstrings, and it makes our emotions begin to want to be a party to this. But is it what God wants us to do? I sit there and I look at these commercials. I see, I love the Shriners. Only $19 a month can help us, and you'll get this adorable blanket. And granted, it's a great cause to help these kids. It is. But is it what God wants us to do? Or the other bombardment, for just $20. For just $20, you can help us feed our brother Jews with a lunchbox of food. Now, I'm not demeaning it. I'm trying to illustrate how the world tries to get us emotionally involved into their causes. And there's so many causes out there that if we do not discern what the Spirit of God is saying to us, we can get sucked into this very rapidly. The Spirit of God is telling me right now to remind you that God speaks to our spirit, who enlightens our mind, who motivates our flesh to do His will. The world bypasses our spirit and immediately inflames our emotions to these good causes. But is it what God has spoken to us as an individual, as a church? You see, because of our iniquity, we have been cut off from God originally, according to Isaiah 59:1-3. And what we do is we're dealing with the wages of sin. When there's war, we deal with the consequences of that. When there's famine, we deal with consequences with that. when there's lack of clothing or homes or a whole plethora of other things. We become involved because, as I said last week, Scripture almost compels us to be involved in this. But is it what Christ wants us to do? The true problem is dealing with sin, not the symptoms. And it may sound incredible, but God has given to us the ability to make a difference in people's lives. Yeah, if it requires us to provide a meal, or if it requires us to house them, or if it requires us to clothe them, or visit them, or pray for them, yeah, these are all good things. But sin has totally corrupted us, and only a born-again person has the ability to discern what God is saying in order to do good works. But I'm here to tell you, that's not enough. Jesus said, you will do greater works than these. Greater works. Not just good works, greater works. And we need to have understanding of what our King is saying to us. First, Titus 1, 15 and 16 says, to the pure, all things are pure, but those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupt. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Many profess to be believers in Jesus Christ. But what is the sign of a believer that separates us from the unbeliever, that separates us from the world? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. If we don't do what Jesus tells us to do, we're disobedient. And I'm not trying to scare us or anything. I'm trying to get us to understand there is a right way, and then there's Jesus' way. And I want us on Jesus' way. I want Jesus to be glorified. I want Jesus to deal with the sin issues that so many are ensnared with, that so many of us are still shackled to the world, that even though we're here, we're still unbelieving. Matthew 7:21 through 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy? Lord, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do many wonders in your name? And I will declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What is lawlessness? It's anything that is disobedient to the law of God. And I explained to you that the law of God is love. Love God supremely. Be filled with that love, and then love others as we love ourselves. But somehow we're attempting to do the first, but we set limitations on the second. God has been dealing with me with a couple heart issues this week. And I'll tell you what, when you get older, it doesn't get any easier. Because he's digging deeper into your heart. He wants the totality of our hearts. And he will not. He is a jealous God. He will not settle for anything less. Because it's his reputation that's at stake, not ours. Outwardly, we may be appearing to be doing good, but inwardly in our lives, we practice lawlessness. In other words, we say one thing and we're doing something else that is contrary to what the Spirit of God is saying to us. And we need to lay that down at His feet and give it to Him so that we can really experience true freedom, true joy, true peace, true prosperity, true health and happiness, and the abundant life that Christ has promised us, but is only experienced in Him. And it comes to a point, are you in Christ? Are you not? God has forgiven us. He has forgiven every sin. We need to forgive ourselves. He has shown His mercy to us by cleansing us from all unrighteousness by the blood of the Lamb that was shed upon the cross. He wants His people to experience Him in a way that is so dynamic that we are so consumed with Him that what He has done in our lives, we want others to have. We want to pour it out on them. And this is first us understanding. We understand what a good man is. And all of you are good men and women because you've been born again of the Spirit. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You are filled with His love. You just don't have understanding yet how to release that in power. In order to understand good works, we have to understand what bad works are or evil works. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And this is how the enemy deals with us. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentious, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is carnal people. If you are still practicing any of these things, repent. Stop doing them. God's desire is for us to inherit the kingdom, not cover these things and pretend that everything is good. I've had people come to say, I'm good, Pastor. I can handle this. And I say to them, I can't handle this. I need Jesus. I need Him to eradicate this out of my life. How about you? How about you? God doesn't even want us to be associated with the works of the flesh because in doing them, we'll have only far-reaching consequences to future generations. Didn't He say that He will visit the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generations? But His blessings go to 1,000 generations. Let's take my own personal life. The sins that I have done, and I'm not guilty of, because Christ has forgiven me. He has cleansed me from all that. But the far-reaching sins, it passes on to the next generation, my son and my daughter, my spiritual sons and daughters. I'm not perfect, but each generation who walks with God has less to deal with because God is perfecting them. They don't have to do the same mistakes. That requires me to put this stuff off so that they won't stumble. and every generation after them, my grandchildren. I mean, I'm praying for my great-grandchildren right now. My grandchildren are here. Now I'm praying by faith that God reach into that generation to minimize the effects of my sin upon them. And Satan, what he does is he is so good in reminding us of how evil and wicked we are that we even doubt the love of God for us. And we need to take the word. Even yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I am blown away by that. How could he take and love me, a wicked sinner, on my good day? And one who is a practitioner of some of these things, and yet die for me. That's why I can come here and worship him, because of the magnitude of his forgiveness. I understand his forgiveness. I relish in his mercy for me. And so should you. He doesn't impute your sins against you. He's exhorting us to come and have a deeper relationship with him. But he wants us to understand what is keeping us from that depth of relationship. And even today, I saw this, like anybody ever see the movie where the guy was taken up by the aliens, and he was up in the air like this for a second, and then boom, he was gone. What I saw was all of us up there in the air like this, and some of the shackles were broken off of us, and they are attached to the world. God wants to break all those chains and cause your spirit to soar and be filled and relished with all the goodness, so that when you're filled and you're consumed with the King and the kingdom that is going to be ours, there's nothing inhibiting us in this world to keep us from telling others how good and great God is. I'm reminded of when Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they said, "Oh, we need a sign to see if you're Christ." He says, "The Gentiles want understanding, that's us, but you want a sign. Here's the sign. As Jonah spent 3 days in the well, so will I. And then I'll raise from the dead. I will build this temple," he says. How consumed are you with God? Our lifestyles are actually gauges of our character. Think about this for a second. If I'm still doing the things that I'm not supposed to be doing, it gauges, that needle goes over to see how much Christ-like I am. And the more I walk with Jesus Christ, the smaller that gap is, because I just see my own wickedness, and I just see how great and awesome he is. And I ask him, "How can you love me?" And he simply says, "I do." And he loves you, and you, and you, and you. He holds nothing back. He holds nothing against us. And he wants us to come to that place of telling them. This is what he says in John 3:19-21. This is the verdict. "Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever loves the truth comes to the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." In other words, if we're still stuck on ourselves and what we're doing, we won't come to him. And Satan does not want us to come to him, let alone do good deeds, good works. And many of us are stuck there presently because we haven't really experienced God. That's the truth. We haven't experienced God. Yeah, we've repented of our sins. Yeah, we're born again of the Spirit. And some of us, yeah, we even had the dynamic of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But now it's time to release that power, release Christ out of us. And that requires us to live Romans 12:1. A living sacrifice. Now he's not telling us to sell everything and go into the streets and beg. He's not telling us to do that. But we need to respond when he does say something to us, because he wants to touch them out there. He has free access to touch us here. He wants to use us to do good works and greater works. Do we understand this? And people who are still practicing this evil, they don't want to come to the light, which is the safest place, because there's no judgment. God doesn't judge us. We don't judge. This whole ministry is John 13:35, which says, say it. And if we're not loving one another, then we possibly aren't his disciples. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has created us in Christ Jesus. The life that we live now, we live by faith in the Son of God. Can we agree with that? But we're not to just exist. We are to be mobile. We are to be seeking God, what it is that he has for us, so that we can do it. He has enabled us through his Spirit to do it. What is it that he's called to us? I give the example of the time when I was at work and I stopped at a Wawa to get myself some breakfast, a cup of coffee. And there was a fellow there who was asking for handouts. And I just walked past that person, not understanding and not recognizing the opportunity, because I'm in my own little world, me and Jesus. And as I buy my stuff, he's there. He asks a second time for me to give him some money to buy breakfast. And of course, as spiritual as I am, I get in my truck and I drive down the road to my first appointment. And I'm no further than a quarter mile down the road, and the Holy Spirit is convicting me, telling me that this was a divine appointment. I could not stand the conviction so much. I had to turn my truck around, come back. I did not see this fella outside. I went inside. I was looking for this fella. I was so convicted. I wanted to pay for this person's breakfast. And whatever it cost me, I didn't care. I didn't want the conviction of the Holy Spirit on me. I wasn't found guilty. I was convicted that I was not aware, lack of understanding, and blind because I didn't see the opportunity that God had placed in front of me to do a good work. How many of us have had similar experiences? And how many of us went back to seize that opportunity? I believe it was an angel. I truly believe it was an angel there that God was showing me. I do not go past. When he speaks to me, Holy Spirit reminds me of that time. It's like somebody needs something. I believe it's a divine appointment, and I need to seize that opportunity. If I don't have the resources needed to meet that need, to alleviate that pain in that person's, I will go to the church. I will go to whoever so that we can pull our resources together for the benefit of that one whom God has laid on my heart. Yes, we're to engage with the world. We're to listen for their heartfelt needs. And we must avail ourselves to assist in alleviating the physical need. Because God uses those physical needs to first test our hearts. And second of all, to see if we are willing to live as a living sacrifice to meet a need. Well, let's think about it. I think you and I were out, we were meeting, and Dan was having a sandwich or something, and I really, this was a while back, of course, and I wasn't hungry, but I was having a cup of coffee or something, and the waitress says to me, would you like something to eat? I said, nah, eating's overrated. It interferes with too much. How many checked out Isaiah 58, 1 through 11? I encourage you strongly to see the fast that God is calling His church to. And it's a fast that meets physical needs. That's all it is. Really, that's all it is. He wants to use these physical needs to use us to bring Him into a situation to touch people's lives with His love. He loves us so much that He died for us. Are we willing to live for Him at the expense of our selfish wants and desires? That's the question. If we are and we do these things, then what we need to understand is that when people are set in to us, we need to seize those opportunities. What I have learned is that we must predetermine that we're going to do these things. Because if we don't, what happens is Satan wants to find a way to cause a root of bitterness to come into our hearts. We become resentful. Our hearts are filled with all kinds of evil. Even though we've done something, it goes back to, our works outwardly are good, but inwardly we're disobedient to what the Lord wants us to be. We don't experience that joy. We don't experience that happiness. We don't experience the things that God wants us to experience, which are so much more valuable than our stuff. And all of us got stuff. And I'm working real hard to get the stuff out of my garage. Some of you know. It takes time. Just like it takes time for these good works and these things to understand. When God sends us to a person who needs a meal, who needs hygiene or a bath, clothing, shoes, education, or a visit, or a drink of water, sending a card to someone that hasn't been with us for a while, or a phone call. Hey, how you doing? Just checking up on you, making sure everything's cool. What is it that I can do? How can I serve you? That's the love of God that we need to extend not only to the family of God, but to those who will become the family of God. And as I said, we must predetermine to do these actions. Why? Matthew 25:34 through 40 says, Christ speaking, Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. I am in touch with a person that's in prison, and that person has asked me to come. First of all, asked me if they could put myself and Irene on their visitation. Of course. I want to come. I want to share the love of Jesus Christ to them. Who knows? God may open up a door for a prison ministry. That's all we're looking for, is opportunity. God has given it to us. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer to him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you, or you were thirsty or give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least, one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. He calls them brothers. He calls us friends. There's an intimacy that you can have someone as a brother and still not have a relationship with them. But when you're a friend, you have a relationship that is constantly growing. And I have friends I haven't seen in 2-3 years. And when we get together, it's like picking up where we left off. These are good friends. And Jesus says, you did it to me. These are just physical good works. But we're destined to do greater works. Jesus said, greater works than these you will do. Don't you want to do the greater works? Don't you want to bring glory and honor to your King who died for you? I do. It consumes me. I am consumed with a zeal for God. And some people say, well, Pastor, you're just a little angry. You're a little intense. I'm intensely in love with Jesus, and I make no apologies. I love him more than I love my wife. I love him more than I love my children. I love him more than my grandchildren. I love him more than anything and anybody, because he says, if I have even an ounce of love for something that's less than him, I'm not worthy of the kingdom. That's for me. What is these greater works that Jesus is telling us? As part of his church, Christ exhorts us to make disciples of the nations and to preach the gospel according to Matthew 24:14 and Matthew 28:19-20. While warning them of the judgment that is coming. Ezekiel 33:1-9. If you know, and you know, and don't tell them, their blood is on your hands. That's part of the gospel. And what we have today in modern society, in Western culture, is Jesus is so good. He loves you. He thinks you're so wonderful. And there's no consequences, because Jesus extends his grace. What we're doing with the men is we're going to challenge them. Because the men have said they want to be sons of the house. Well, that requires something. That requires something of them. Jesus said, You need to count the cost. This cost is real. People are dying and going to hell in a handbasket, even as I speak. Does that not concern you? My family personally had to deal with 2 deaths in 3 weeks. Fortunately, I know they're in glory and they're having a great time and, you know, they're basking in the King's glory. There's not a care in this world. They've been set free. They graduated. Can you lay that claim for yourself personally? And who are you ministering to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because there is a day when he will return and judgment will come upon this world. And all that have not received Jesus Christ, have refused Jesus Christ, have rescinded walking with Jesus Christ, who are disobedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what his word says. So if you have a problem, take it up with the author. Because daddy doesn't lie. These are good works that he has mandated for the church of which we are part of. The Father is concerned for every single soul that is on this planet. He wants no one to die. He wants us all to come to repentance. Well, you see, it's me and Jesus, and I just can't be in the midst of the body of Christ, you know, because I can't take the stress and strain. You don't have an option. Hebrews tells me you're supposed to be assembling yourself as you see the day of darkness approaching. Because after that darkness comes the light, and the King will know. My son has a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I pray for him. I try to encourage my son to get in a fellowship. I don't care what fellowship. But when you're in there, you can at least allow the Holy Spirit to begin to start ministering to you and bring you to that place where he wants you to be. You see, he determines where he's going to place us in the wall. We're living stones. The Lord has provided for the spiritual needs of the world on the cross of Jesus Christ. If we're struggling with something, give it to him. Get it under the blood, get cleansed by it, and allow him to fill your heart with his love. Be overwhelmed with his love so that you can overwhelm them with his love. As people come to his light, there's forgiveness of sin. There's mercy. There's cleansing. There's redemption and regeneration of a person's spirit so that they can begin to do the works and the greater works. You see, the greater works are the spiritual aspects that I believe that Christ has given to us. We should first pray for the nations, and we will. Second of all, we need to lift up our leaders. All this Antichrist and Jezebel spirit rioting and that's going on in our nation. We're supposed to be submitted to the authorities above us. Whether they're good or bad, that's why we pray for the leaders, so that God can deal with them. If we're not praying for them, God's not going to do anything. And wickedness will come upon the land. Understand that what happened in our nation was because the church began to pray. And for streams, we're going to continue to pray. We're not going to let this be a moment in time We want it to become a movement of the Spirit. Because as we pray, God is able to work on the hearts of people. As we speak to them, as we live sacrificially for them, as we do things for them, we will be able to preach the good news of the gospel. And their hearts will be open. They may not come the first time we share with them. They may not come the second or third. But I know they will come. Because God's word does not return void. We need to send His word forth. We need to be consumed with God and less consumed about ourselves. God has promised to take care of us. But we have this thing that we're going to help God. You just don't understand, God. You know, I'm not making enough money. Oh, you're making enough. I'm trying to teach you how to use it properly. Money is a tool, not the end with all. Doesn't it say that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil? If we love money more than we love God, we're in trouble. These greater works is not only preaching the gospel, it's casting out demons, it's healing the sick and raising the dead. These are actual things that Jesus did, and He wants His church to do this. We have to be so immovable on the word of God that whatever is blowing past us, whatever storm of life is going, we will stand on God's word. Because that's all we have to stand on. And if we get shifted one way or another, don't expect what you prayed for to come to pass. Doesn't James tell us that a double-minded man receives nothing? The key for us to do greater things, to demonstrate the authority and the power of the kingdom, which is contained within us. The kingdom of God. The king resides in us. We have everything that we need to do greater works. We just need to die. The key is absolute obedience to the word of God and absolute consumption by the Holy Spirit. We need to be consumed. Consumed. Hear me. Consumed with God. And if we are not consumed, we need to look at our lives. We need to look at our lives. And God spoke to me today. He says, there's something. I want you to sanctify your house. And I'm like, I thought I was. And then He showed me one thing. And I said, yes, Lord, I submit it to You. I will take care of it when I leave here today. I don't want anything to come in between me and God. I want to hear Him. I want to see Him. I want to do the things that He's called me to do. And I hope my zeal for Him rubs off on you. That you will be so consumed. Yeah, we gotta live in this world. Yeah, we gotta pay bills. But there's nothing more important. If we don't get anything, we get one thing today. It is Him who provides for us through our jobs. It is Him who gives us the wisdom how to handle things. It is Him who gives us understanding. It is Him who gives us vision. It is Him. It's Him. I've asked many of you guys, so what's God been saying to you? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. What's He been saying to you, Pastor? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. What He's been saying to me, I can't, I'm not allowed to release yet. Think about it. There's stuff God wants us to do that we're not, as a congregation, we're not ready for. We need to get ready. When we're consumed with the King and what He wants to do, power is released. Power of the Holy Spirit's released, because there's nothing that's going to inhibit us from releasing Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. You are spiritual people living in a shell that will one day allow you to extricate yourself from here. And you will go on to glory. Your assignment is to be effective in the King's hand. That should consume you. What is it that God's saying to me? What does He want? Do you know what God's ultimate goal is? He tells us. He tells us in Scripture. His ultimate goal is the ultimate obliteration and annihilation of the kingdom of darkness that has for so long inhibited the people of God, and to establish the glorious kingdom of His Son on this earth. And we have the privilege. We get to tell people about this. We get to do these things. We get to pray for the sick and watch them recover. We get to cast out demons. We get to lay hands on the dead and watch them rise. That's being consumed. That's the greater works. Because you see, when people see these miracles, they come to God in droves. Imagine. Let your imagination work. Someone who's missing an arm, and you speak to the body to have that arm come forward in Jesus' name. Don't have eyes, are blind from birth, and you lay hands on them and you command them to have sight. These are the greater works that God wants to do. It's not being stuck on stupid any longer. It's having the understanding of what the King expects and what He wants to do through His church, of which we are so privileged of. Revelation 11:15 says, "Then the seventh angel answered, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." There is a time that the Father has set that He said, "I've had enough." I've had enough. All the trials and tribulations that we've gone through are for the purposes of perfecting our faith in Jesus Christ. They are not punishments from God, but perfecting our faith. There is a time when the kingdoms of this world will become His kingdoms, and He will reign forever and ever. We get to reign with Him for 1,000 years. We will judge fallen angels. We will judge wicked people. We will judge evil nations. So when people say, "Oh, we're not supposed to judge." Yes, you are. You judge in righteousness. You don't judge a person for what they have done, because we have been corrupt ever since our birth. But when they come to Jesus Christ, if they're shouting in heaven, and we know Jesus said that their angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner comes, how much more should we celebrate? How much more when we get together? We should be celebrating Jesus. We should be celebrating His goodness and His mercy. Not, "Oh man, boy, I got this going on in my life. It's so bad." God promises to straighten our lives out. Let Him. Do whatever He tells you to do. Even today with Him telling me, "There's one thing in my house that has violated my house from being sanctified. It's small. It's not a big deal. It's not sin, but he doesn't want it. That's how serious I take my relationship with the Father through Jesus. Anything less than total consumption of our lives makes us mere men and women. Is that what you want for your life? Just to be a mere person? Just existing? And you've heard me many times. God has a tremendous plan for your life. And a lot of us are stuck on how could he love me? Doesn't he see my wickedness? No. He's cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. Why should you remember it? He's not bringing it up. He loves you intensely. There's nothing more important to him. You are the apple of his eye. His plans are to prosper you. His plans are to be good. But they are his plans. And if we don't get on his plan, how are we expected to be consumed? Let's stop being consumed with life. Let's stop being consumed by people who want to try to control us. Let us surrender to Jesus Christ and allow his Holy Spirit to have his perfect work in us so that we can move on to good works and greater works. That's his heart. Please stand. Father, I have brought your word to your people. I ask, Lord God, that there be good soil. That what I have sown today, Lord God, would be good soil. That they in turn would sow into other people's lives. Whether it's gentleness, whether it's meeting a physical need, or whether it's casting out demons that you have instructed us to do. I pray against the lawlessness that is in our lives, and I pray that you bring order and structure to our lives that would cause us to be consumed by the King. I know I don't only pray for those that are here, but I pray for those who are coming here. God, you not only want to fill this room, you want to fill this building. You want us to do great and awesome things, and I'm believing you, God. I'm believing what you said to me, Father. And I will not move until it's fulfilled. God, bless your people. Have them to see that what they're doing is significant in your kingdom. Whether it's a baby step, a giant leap, whatever. Father, Holy Spirit, I ask that you just fall on them afresh today. Consume them. Consume everything that is not of you. Help them, God, to receive the fullness of the goodness of Jesus Christ into their lives. As they go forward today, that they would say they have experienced you, God, and that they have received a change. Even if it's just one thing, a change in their lives. Father, I ask you, bless them this week. Give them opportunity. Help them to see the opportunities and seize those opportunities in a lifetime of that opportunity. Help us, oh God, to lay down everything that is repugnant to you. That would unshackle us, oh God, from the cares of this world. and be consumed with the enormity and blessings that you have for us in the kingdom that is only found in Christ. Father, cause them to be distressed in spirit in such a way that they would pursue you. They would pursue you and be consumed by you and alleviate that distress with your peace and joy and love that's only found in you. Father, may they go in peace. May they be a blessing to their neighbors, to their families, to everyone. May they understand today, God, that you want us to do good works and you want us to do greater works. And they have now the understanding of what that is. Settle it in their hearts and help them to walk this out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.